Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance?
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance.
Okay.
Okay, we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot delta H. Your gunner goes based on the data you had for an LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro, go.
Fido, go.
Guide,
go.
Control,
go.
Telcom,
go.
Jinsey,
go.
Ecom,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Capcom, we're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country in Shingle Springs, California, this is your host, John Almada.
Day after Christmas, and a lot of recovering from post-holiday dinners, and people stopping in, and family out and about. So we've been busy out here in the West, and I'm sure everybody out there has had similar things going on. Pretty full chat room tonight. We've got Anastasia, and Kathy is going to be on. She's our guest tonight. Guest 1980, good to see you. Luna Woman over in Cameron Park, good to see you. Paul Edward Montad, hello, Paul. And Dead Air, and you're not so dead, my friend, so good to have you aboard. Yeah, a lot of going on. It was just interesting to watch some TV today. I was out burning, and then between my back going out in various fits and starts, I was moving things back and forth and watching some of the UFO shows that were on today, so I thought we'd do a little UFO news and talk about some of that, and jump into that a little bit. But we are going to have Kathy on, and a little bit about her. She was born in October 1955, had polio at 11 months old, and was in and out of leaving this world for a while, but she supposes that God had bigger plans for her, and so we're going to be talking more about her with those plans and the things that have gone on. And she's also host of Kathy's Distant Echoes, and I believe she's on twice a week. We'll find out all of that. Not all English are arrogant. I grant you that the proportion of them are, though. Well, it's good. That's good to know, Paul. Thank God Americans aren't all that weird, but, well, yeah, actually, some of us are. But anyway, that said, let's go ahead and get into some of the stuff going on. Chat room is busy as heck. Kathy's sitting there laughing at Paul now. Let's see. I'm going to pull the news up. A little bit of news about the upcoming Ghostbusters 3 movie. There's going to be, evidently, everybody but Rick Moranis is going to be back from the old cast. So evidently, there are going to be a couple of ladies on the Ghostbusters team in addition to the guys, so that's going to be good. Going to see them giving a can of whoop-ass the spirits out there. Marinus, I think he, the way it says here in this article, that he retired from show business and is focusing on raising his children after the death of his wife, and that break turned into full retirement with no desire to even make a cameo appearance. And we hope that Rick changes his mind over the course of the next couple of years. So anyway, the Dan Aykroyd says that the third installment is more of a passing of the torch to a younger team kind of flick. Ponder the Star Trek movie release earlier this year, and that starts and then start feeling very old. I refuse to feel old, even though I'm 50. But let's just stick with that. Let's see. We got a little bit here from Arizona Central, azcentral.com. Got Ghost Group scours likely haunts. The temperature dropped in the boiler room of the Gadsden Hotel in Douglas. Heel toe, footsteps echoed in the hollow concrete basement. They sounded like boots, but the only people there were two investigators from West Coast Ghost and Paranormal Society, and they weren't walking. You could hear footsteps coming down the hallway, and then it actually walked around us in the boiler room. We caught it on audio, Andy Rice said, and just try to wrap your mind around that. There's no one to see, but there's footsteps. And Sean Jacob was with Rice in the now frigid basement. Just after the footsteps, it felt like something pulled on my shorts. Oh, my goodness, Jacob said, but there wasn't anything around me. The Gadsden Hotel dates back to 1907 and the last days of the Wild West. Many staffers have reported encountering a headless figure in the basement, and they say the ghost of a Mexican Revolutionary War figure, Pancho Villa, is said to appear there. The hotel is one of 31 paranormal investigation sites investigated by the Phoenix-based group since it was formed 2 years ago. Although members have had many unexplained experiences during hours of investigations at the hotel, they stopped short of labeling the place haunted. Well, I'm sorry, but when you start hearing that kind of thing and somebody pulls on your shirt, despite the fact it's a personal experience, in my mind, that's haunting. The group will declare a building haunted only if it can capture video or audio evidence. Unsubstantiated personal experiences don't count. At the Birdcage Theater in Tombstone, an ostrich feather dropped from a birdcage and an unseen woman hummed from the stage. At Big Nose Kate's saloon nearby, a grumbly male voice told Jacob to get out. I've gotten that a lot in some of mine. It's nice to know we get it in multiple states. Get out. Lacking documentation, the group cited unexplained paranormal activity in their report. And so this goes on, but just wanted to cover a little bit of that from Arizona, since we have a very good dear friend of mine, Miss Karen, who's not on right now. I think she's at work down there, but she lives in Phoenix. And her and I had an interesting experience last November outside of the place that I work. It's a defense facility where we manufacture liquid and solid rocket motors and engines. And we were actually outside on a public road adjoining that facility. And I happened to know many years ago that there had been accidents out there. And I had always wanted to basically conduct a paranormal investigation, but I can't do it on plant. So what I did was just went out on the road and picked a spot across from the other side from where this these accidents had happened, but on public, basically on a county public road. And we did a session there, and it was interesting because we actually both experienced footsteps in the same way. We heard this approached from the direction of the rocket facility and actually came towards us and then stopped at one point. And Karen and me were looking at each other going, oh, boy. It's one of those moments where you hear the Scooby noises, it's just definitely something different. I've done, well over 100 investigations, but really have never had the footstep thing. That was the first time for us. So I did, on the way back from work one night, stop in the same spot here just last week. And I stopped, and I was all alone out there, and I figured, well, I survived it with two people. I can take it with one, and I'm on the road. I can hop in my car anytime. And we did another session out there, and it was funny. I did get a few EVPs, so some voices responding, but more disturbing was the growl of some creature that was nearby, and it sounded like a cougar. And there are cougars on the facility, and I to say that every hair on me stood out was kind of an understatement. I definitely just about jumped out of my skin. So next time I go out there, we're going to be taking several people and stay near the car because I was away from it, a little bit away from it when that happened. But anyway, let's go on. It's for those of you who believe in Mercury retrograde, today is the start of the Mercury retrograde, and this is from December 26th through January 15th, 2010. Basically, it said that all communications go a little haywire at this time. And so that is basically a good idea to basically check everything that you talk about, make sure that emails got through, double check that people understand your meaning because it's easier to misidentify communications, and kind of put things, kind of get things screwed up a little bit easier just at this time. And this happens several times a year. So again, December 26th through January 15th, 2010, that's going to be happening. So just watch your communications and be careful. UFO news. There were some interesting things out there. An interesting article out on the San Francisco Examiner.com. It's www.examiner.com. And look for, in a Google on this, video, Cigar UFO over Nevada's Railroad Valley. And basically, a cigar-shaped craft was seen recently by a gentleman driving towards work. And this craft was actually observed for many minutes, and not only by him, but other people also saw this in the area. So it was very a very credible sighting. And this thing was actually floating kind of in a almost 45-degree angle in the sky. Very noticeable, and there's actually a YouTube video of this on the site. So you could actually, if I, matter of fact, if I just grab the URL, let me see if I can grab that and throw that in the chat room for everybody and see if that, yeah, there it goes. So that, hopefully that'll actually launch for you guys. If not, let me know. So that is something that it happens all across the West, and we've had one show recently with a UFO talk of basically a case my mother was involved in, and actually had a sighting out in a place, a little town called Lincoln, California, about 35 miles from here. By the way, I've been in touch with someone on the UFO topic, Dr. Lynn Kitai, who is the author of the Arizona Lights. It's basically that case that happened in 1997, I think it was March 13th, 1997. She is going to be our guest in April sometime. We're still fixing the date up, but I just got a letter from her today, and she was gracious enough to respond. We've been talking back and forth several years, her and I, and it's going to be nice to have her on. So she's going to be discussing the Arizona Lights and all about the phenomena that she experienced for quite some time before that, 2 years of seeing orange globes that would appear outside her house, and some very interesting phenomena. So this woman is extremely intelligent, has a lot of good things to say, and I think we're going to really enjoy having her on. So that said, we're looking at 8:13 past the hour, and let me take a look here where I can find. Can I find the control block here? Yes, we've got it. So I'm going to look, and we have a couple of numbers online here, a 775 area code and a 757. So I am going to pick up the line and just guess that we've got one of them. And we'll just go ahead and just start in. If it is Kathy, I'll see. Hopefully it's 775 because I wasn't sure what line she's on here. So let's try this. Hello, who have we got on the line? Hello? Okay. Well, we got a 775 that's not talking. Let's try this other one, 757.
That would be me.
Hey, okay, on the second try. I don't know who the 775 number is, but it's probably somebody listening in. But they're on the air, and they don't realize it now. So I'm
I had my
them.
Little
Hi,
hand
Kathy.
Up. I had my little hand up.
I saw the hand up, and I was going, oh, I'll bet she wants to talk to me for some reason. Like, you're the guest on the show.
And you're going to be a guest on my show. So.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. That'll be my second time on the show, and we'll have some EVPs. I was just looking through EVPs, too, and got a bunch for you. So, yeah, I'll send some out your way, and caught up with all my mail and everything. It's been crazy out here, you know.
It's been crazy on this end, too.
Oh, what's been going on with you?
I don't know. It's just the weather, and, you know, it gets hot during the, well, warm during the day and cold at night. So, yeah, it's kind of, it's that flu season, I guess.
Well, speaking
of course, in California,
the,
y'all don't know the difference between your seasons, do you?
Well, right now, well, I mean, we're here, we have pretty severe temperature swings. Believe it or not, a lot of people think California is this sunny paradise, and I have the photographs to prove opposite because, you know, we just had 12 inches of snow hit here and broke. I stopped counting at 40 trees damaged here on the property, and these are oak trees. And it's right now, it's you're, there's places out in my yard where you're taking your life in your hands because there's actually a couple of, you know, 200-pound limbs hanging up. They're just hanging there by a thread, and I'm trying to knock them down right now. And I was out with a pole saw cutting till my back just about gave out, so I took two of them out today. I've been burning like crazy, and so it's been
aww.
So I'm sore, but you know what? It's good for me, and I'm glad that, you know, you got to look at the good that this stuff does, because look at all the sunshine that's going to come into the yard now from all these trees down. We're going to get extra room for more plants, and hey, you know, you got to look at the bright side of it all.
Well,
but,
Paul Edward Montador wanted me to give you a hard time, so.
Oh, well, I'm going to give Paul a hard ride. Yeah, Paul, we're just some real stuck-up Americans here, you know. I mean, you know how it is. Oh, we've got some, what an interesting name. Ballroom Overseer is in the chat room. That's an interesting name. And then Nore and Anastasia, I saw her. Elmar is there. Okay, so hi to all you. Oh, hi, Reno girl. Nice to see you. You're right over the ridge. Okay, but you know, I've known you now for over a year, and seen you off and on.
Well, I mean, we met about 3 years ago.
Yeah, and you did CJEVP for a while, and then you got your own shows, and you got into that, and I didn't really know anything about you beyond the fact that I just love you to death, and you're this great woman, and you're always so happy. And
I don't know. I always thought I was so sassy in Christine form.
No, you're just a really neat lady. And when I got your bio that you sent me, I was like, oh my God, I didn't know this about you. I didn't know that you talk to angels and ghosts and spirits, and that you have all these different abilities. So let's start at the beginning. I mean, when did you know that you were a little different and had these abilities to talk to spirits? And I know you have some things to talk about when you got labeled, but we'll get into that. But, you know, what happened?
I really didn't think I was different until my mother told me I was. You know, and I finally understood what different was. But and then I went to school, and then, you know, that was that too. So, yeah, that's when I became just a big loner. I've always been a loner because people just don't understand other people like that.
And I think I understand that a little bit. I grew up in the Scottish family, all gifted. I know the feeling. You know, you just kind of, you know a little bit before you should, and people look at you funny. And but you seem to have really had it. Really had the gift in excess from what I'm reading here in the bio.
Well, we weren't allowed to say anything about it, and I did. I used to tell my mother things that, you know, my angels were telling me, and spirits, I imagine. I didn't consider spirits anything but my angels, too. So, well, that's what my grandmother was always calling them, so I wouldn't get so scared of them. But when I went and told my mom, she would tell me, no, I'm just imagining things, and I knew I wasn't, and my grandmother told me I wasn't. So I guess I told my mother one too many times. So she taught, when I was about 10 years old, she talked my dad into having me admitted into a mental institution, a hospital, for 3 months. And I think it was one of the best things she could have ever done for me, because then I ended up being the most sanest one in my family.
Oh, my God. I had a little luckier. I mean, everybody in my family knew that this stuff was kind of normal, you know, and so it was somewhat encouraged, but you got through this pretty okay. I mean,
No, I really didn't. I stayed very angry for the longest time with her for doing that to me.
Oh, really?
I kept it to myself. I did. I went through so many things of, oh, gosh, the things I went through. I guess we're all supposed to go through our own trials and tribulations, but I went through the fact of studying everything I could in witchcraft and demonology and everything on just trying to get back at this woman. She was just a hateful, mean woman. She was a hateful, mean woman. And she didn't want me. And that, you know, that was just my life growing up because I had polio, but and I couldn't get around good. She wanted perfection, and she didn't have it in me. But I still thank her for giving me that hard time and to making me what I am today, because I make myself what I am, not what she wanted me to be. But that's fine. But I have spoke to spirits and angels all my life, and I thank God for that. But, yeah, I've made my own road rough, in other words.
Well, that's that's pretty common, you know, when you see that in the in psychics and folks that have different abilities. So, you know, they go through those periods of just real trial, and and they're tested. I think it's almost like God tests you. I mean, do you think that was basically it?
I don't know if he so much tested me as he allowed me to test myself, because I hated what I had. I looked at it as a curse for a long time. It still wouldn't go away as much as I tried to push it away, and it kept getting stronger. So I thought, well, maybe I can just use it to the bad just to get even with her, and I lost it for a few years. So,
wow.
I don't think it was so much lost as it was dormant because of me thinking bad thoughts to this woman that didn't raise me, but, you know, bore me. But, I was a hateful thing when I was a teenager.
What ended up happening ultimately? I mean, has she moved on?
She moved on. She was still hateful till the day she died, yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and that's created animosity between me and my siblings, but that's okay. You know, I can't live their life and they can't live mine.
Wow.
But we're slowly but surely getting back together, and thank God for that.
Yeah, I've kind of learned that about family. I mean, I've got my own little small family unit, but, you know, you choose your friends, but they say you're stuck with family, but really the truth is you can pretty much choose the friends and family. You can basically say no to the ones that are, you know, excessive, and put them in their place, or just, you know, change the role that they have in your life and by choice. And that's a tough thing. I mean, people, people have a rough time with that, especially people who are sensitive. It happened in our family, and we went through quite a trial there for where we used to have these huge family gatherings. I was remembering just last night, we used to have the whole family over for Christmas, and we would have these just giant Christmases. There would be five brothers and or five sisters together with all the brothers-in-law and the grandparents, multiple grandparents around everybody, and there'd be 50 people in the house for Christmas, and it was crazy. And I looked up yesterday, and we had three people, and one of my relatives came over, my cousin Kevin, who's on my team, and he came by to say hi, and it was good to see him, and a few phone calls, but it's gotten really small, you know? I mean, I don't know if that's that way for you.
No, but you did ask me what changed me around. I would have to say two things changed me around, and that's...
Yeah.
When I was a teenager, this one guy just would not leave me alone. When I was, this guy was supposed to get married to his cousin, just wouldn't leave me alone, and he just angered me so much that I got me and a couple of girlfriends, and since we were into witchcraft at the time, we actually sit there with a Ouija board and everything else and did some spells, and all of a sudden, come to find out, a friend of mine happened to be in the car with him. The car flipped. It was on a dry road. It ended back up. It could have killed him him, my friend. And a snake came up that wasn't poison and bit him, and I said, well, that's it. But that wasn't it for what, you know, the good Lord had in store for me, because I ended up getting pregnant. And I have never said this on a show before, but I ended up getting pregnant, and I was supposed to get married, not because I was pregnant, but because I'd been dating this guy for 3 years. But what happened was I ended up having to give up my child for adoption. So I lost a lot because of the route I was taking. And
wow.
I feel like I've been blessed in the later years with my having another son with and somebody that really loved me until he passed away 3 years ago. And I've had my trials and tribulations, and I'm still very blessed to have gone on that road to get where I've got to today. But I will not read people on air.
What gifts do you have? I mean, I know you have the ability to see spirits, and I think you said hearing spirits, but can you go more into what it is you do?
I've seen the future. Doesn't mean that it's going to stay that way. People change their own paths. I can mainly my future that I see for people are earthbound. It's things that surround them, what's happening around them. But I also see things that won't be changed, like something that's inevitably coming. You know, I can see things like that, the future for mankind. I can see things like that. And will I say it? No, not to too many.
Huh. Yeah, I
understand. I see different things.
Clinician.
I hear different things. My angels talk to me daily. We talk to each other and joke around. Angels to me are like you and I, just friends.
You obviously know their names. You must have several that are around you then, pretty much.
I don't really call them by name. I just talk to them. I know them because I talk to them and I can see them. I just identify them by sight, and that's it.
Oh, so you've never really given them a name per se, but you see them. They look like you and I.
Yeah. They don't have the wings and the holy halos and the.
But they're not. Yeah. They're not. I mean, are they a little bit more than us? I mean, do they have some kind of a special, you know, aura about them, or is it just they just look like people?
They just look like people. I don't know how others see them. I'm sure others see them in a different light. You know, it's all a perception of our own mind, and that I just see them as regular people.
Huh. And you said about your readings. I understand this. I actually had somebody try to get me to read professionally for, you know, this was a long time ago, and I never was really comfortable with it. You know, to read for pay. You know. It just was something that I do read people occasionally when I, if they talk me into it, I'll do it because I do psychometry, you know, really well. I'm really good at that. But it's just, you know, to me, it's like a gift from God. You don't really abuse that.
No, you don't.
What's that?
I said, no, you don't. No, you don't.
Yeah, it's just, you know, so in your mind, I mean, you know, why is it, you know, you said you don't read people, but do you read people?
Oh, I do read people. I don't read them in a abundance like a lot of these on radio. I'm not one of those to read in an abundant category.
How do you do your readings?
I do them individually. You know, they call me or they want me to call them, and I'll read them in that fashion, but I will not do it on air.
Is it when you see now when you read them? How are you using cards at all, or are you just seeing it in your mind?
In my mind, I don't use any tools.
That's actually probably one of the more powerful ways to do that. It's actually how do you get yourself into the mindset to do it? I mean, do you just turn it on and it's like a light switch and you're just on?
Mine just stays on. I just leave it on. It just stays on.
And
when I get tired, it just turns off on its own, I guess. I don't know. I just let it deal with itself.
you get physical sensations or anything that like that?
I do. Yeah, I usually gather up from their energy.
Yeah, different folks I talk with who have abilities, you just hear different things, you know. I get a physical sensation on my third eye. I actually feel like it's just wanting to almost bust out of there when something important's about to happen. But
that's me,
you know,
too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just this really freaky feeling, and you just go, okay, something's up, and then you start looking around, and inevitably it's right, you know, it's just that extra sense. But do you, you know, what's the most amazing thing that's happened in your mind, or memorable cases and things that have happened with you with people you've read?
Well, one was a preacher man I helped about a few months ago. Well, probably about a year ago. And this was weird for me because I don't deal with religious people. So this one was my angels made me go to him in his church and tell him he was going to Africa. He was going to die in Africa to stay away from the water. There was going to be a group of, this was all the premonitions that I had given, that I'd seen. And there was going to be a town that he was going in, that he was, him or ones like him were going to be killed because of their religion. And when he got there and came back, he didn't want to speak to me at first. And then he got me and he said, everything you told me was right. He said, when I got there, the town I was supposed to have gone in, they had gone and bombed the church that I was supposed to be a part of with the preachers and the nuns in it. He said, when I went and climbed the hill, I fell and I hit my head. I died. They had to bring me back. He said, I fell into a river that was flowing so fast that if one of the guys hadn't have picked me up, I would have drowned. He said, so everything you said to me was right.
Whoa. Whoa, that's insane.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
and I usually don't tell people they're going to die, but they told me he was going to die.
Yeah, so you do see sometimes when people are going to pass, but you try to prepare them, you know, without telling them directly. I mean, for those other
No, I told him directly. I told him he was going to die. And he did. He did die.
But
they brought him back.
That is a neat case. I mean, what happened afterwards? Did he come and talk with you more, or was that pretty much it?
Well, he didn't want to talk to me anymore for a while, and then he was looking for a friend of ours that she went to his church and wanted to know what else I saw for him. And I said, I don't play that one. You know, if you want something, you come and talk to me. But he wouldn't come talk to me, so I haven't seen him in a while.
I think he'll be back. I mean,
yeah, I get that feeling, but that's up to him.
Yeah. How long ago was this that this happened?
When he came back was a few months ago, and then he went back again. And I told him, I said, you ever heard of CNN with all those, I don't know, those evangelists and everything else? I said, they're going to want to pick you up. Well, when he came back this time, they wanted to pick him up, you know, and have him work for them.
Well, so you, I don't know. I think I'd be calling you a lot if that happened to me. I'd be going, just want to know stuff. So what other amazing, you know, things have you had? I mean, it sounds like you're very accurate. So is there another case that stands out?
There's a lot over the years, but that's the most recent one that stands out for me.
Huh.
But
I remember. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, went up to Shanley. I love the Shanley, up in New York.
Oh, yeah, we've had him on. We've had what's his name?
Sal.
Sal's the best, man. He's cool.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's great. Him and Cindy both. Oh my God, have you ever been to that place?
Oh, you know, it's funny. A friend of mine just bought a very haunted location near there. And not only that, I have friends of the family that are not very far from there. And everybody's calling me to go to New York. So I'm going to be going there sometime in 2010. And we're going to definitely do a major a major hunt for probably a week. So I'm going to make it to the Shanley and try to do at least one night there. Yeah, so we're
cool.
Going.
Yep. Yeah, let me know. Maybe I can meet you up there.
Definitely. I mean, where are you at, actually? I know you're not far from there, but what area are you in?
I'm about 12 hours from there.
About 12 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. You're further down in the south, right?
I am. I'm about 3 miles from North Carolina line in Virginia. So,
okay.
On the east coast, yes.
Most of my relatives came from Virginia. I came through there and moved on out. So, yeah, we've got the Virginia thing going, and relatives back there I've never met, so who knows.
I'm not far from the Edgar Cayce Institute.
Oh, I'm a member of that organization. I got to renew, by the way. They keep sending these letters, so I like their stuff, though. They you get the email prayers and all those nice things.
yeah, I got to join
really
up with
cool.
that one.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I mean, I like what Edgar Cayce did, and he was just a natural at what he did. And I've always thought that he had some extraordinary gifts. I just wonder who the next one's going to be, if there's going to be somebody like that coming around. But, you know, with the way the world is woken up psychically, I don't know. I sometimes wonder, you know, can you top, you know, or equal Cayce? And, you know, Nostradamus,
these
kinds of people.
I think you can. I think you can. But the point is, people are just like at any time, people try to take advantage of it, or they get lazy in their thinking and want other people to think for them. So, yeah, I mean, that's the reason a lot of these psychics don't come out with what they do as openly as a lot. So it's because people get too dependent on them.
Yeah, that's I've noticed that a lot of folks that, you know, if you do work for them, you know, reading wise, and you try to tell them that they can do a lot of this for themselves, it's very hard for them to understand that. And I think life has to have a way of showing them that they can do it for themselves, you know, but otherwise there's a dependency created, you know. And
yeah, it's
kind of
like doctor patient.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. I just think, though, you hear so much about these children, you know, like what Chip Coffee does with Children of the Paranormal and that kind of thing, and you see, you know, how many children are just born with these abilities now and are, you know, undeniable. And here you were basically the same way. You're an early version of, you know, like the Violet children that are out there. I just think it's probably going to get a little bit better now that this is so much more out in the open.
I like the fact that the parents are trying to help their kids. Even if they don't know what to do, they do have guidelines to go by now, like for indigo children or, you know, on the Internet they have guidelines what to look for in indigo children. And just in case the parents don't know what to do, you know, to me, I think that's great.
Yeah, it's I just feel so fortunate to have been born into a family. You know, everybody had abilities, and, you know, when I started showing mine, it was like, oh, okay, yeah. And, you know, of course, when I got a little bit out of control, they threw me into a haunted house and left me there for a summer and didn't tell me what was going to happen, and I just said, I had the holy crap scared out of me. I was always creeped out by this place, and what ended up happening was my mother left me there with this knowing smile, and we had a lot of residual haunts, and then a couple of intelligent beings that would come into the house at night. And 3 weeks after I was there, I called home at 3 a.m. going, "You've got to get me out of this place." And,
so I guess when you finally got it right, she went, "Oh, my little Hercules, 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 Hercules."
No, I'll tell you what happened was I shaped my ass up, and I was a lot easier to deal with after that. There's nothing like throwing an unruly son and daughter into a haunted place and not saying anything to clean up their act, you know? That changed my life for the better, and it was just amazing. I mean, you know, it's just like you said, the path that you go on with this is so fraught with, you know, you go through, you know, periods where you have these deserts where stuff just goes away on you. I had mine just kind of similar to you, although, you know, in my own case, it was I just chose to believe in science totally. And, you know, I grew up and my dad was scientific, and I myself am a scientist. And And I ended up basically forgoing all that to the point that, you know, I had a heart attack at 28. And,
Your heart.
Yeah, well, I had a near-death experience and basically saw myself from the ceiling and while they were working on me. And when I came back, I was like, okay, I'm wrong. So I started studying all this stuff, and it kind of sent me on my way. And you know, I got into a little bit of – I read some of – oh, who's that red-haired actress that wrote all the books? I'm trying to remember her name. She was with the Rat Pack. I'm trying to think of her name. Famous gal. She wrote about the chasing UFOs and things like that. I got her books, and that got me into all this. And I don't know. Let me see if I can find that, because I just sent a letter out that way to Shirley MacLaine.
It kind of gets to you when you can't think of it, doesn't it? It does me.
Well, senior Damn moment. It. Hell, you know, you can't remember everything real fast. Yeah, so that's why I have a computer for, heck. But
she says Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah, Shirley MacLaine. I got into her books. I was looking for answers, you know, and I started finding a lot of them in what she had to say. And
thank you, Anastasia.
Well, you got to go in there. She's there she is. Yep, Shirley MacLaine. Yeah, matter of fact, I sent her a letter recently, Shirley, a letter, and I have yet to hear back, but I basically thanked her for this interesting life I've been led on, because some of the stuff she wrote was so good, it changed the way I see things, you know. So, you know, feeling melancholy, I just decided to write a letter. But
I grew up with science, too, science and mechanical, you know, mechanics and everything else, so, yeah, I love that, too.
Did you, when this... kind of dark night of the soul of yours kind of, you know, went away, it was coming to the end, what happened to bring you back into spirituality per se?
I don't think I ever left it. What happened was I truly do believe that I was confronted with what people would call the devil himself when I was about 17, and he said there's only one God, and you have to make your choice of who you're going to serve, me or him. And I knew what that meant, and I didn't hesitate. I said, it's not you. It's him. And he said, that's fine, and he left. So,
this was just a dark angel that appeared to you to say this.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. Evil is real, you know, and you run into it actually in personification. Have you met people that you know serve that?
I do. I have, yes. Still do.
Yeah. Yeah. I know quite a few of them, and I just shake my head and look and go, how do you live like that? But, you know, teach their own. You got to face that.
But I do help teach people, and I also, with doing that, I learned so much. I probably take away more than what they've learned from me. So,
but
I have had some
change.
That I've had to, huh?
Well, go ahead.
I'm sorry. You go ahead.
Well, but, so you're basically saying people can change. You've actually taught people who are, you know, we're doing that, we're serving the wrong side.
Oh, no. I mean, the ones that want to learn. I don't know. I don't go. I found out a long time ago you can't help somebody that's not willing to help themselves. I tried to do that, and you can't do that. Because that's how I end up losing a lot.
So you basically serve as a teacher then, you know, in a lot of your roles.
Yeah.
How do they find you?
Yeah. They do. I don't know how. I guess the good Lord sends them my way. That's all I know.
I know the feeling is doing the paranormal investigation work and the things we do, and helping folks cross over with what, you know, the work we're up to now.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Strange.
I don't help people cross over.
Well, we don't so much cross them over as we show them how to cross themselves over. We don't make them take responsibility for themselves.
Right.
And we show them the way that they can do that, and are willing to talk with them, but. Once it's actually quite simple, but we do get a lot of thank yous for the work.
Oh,
people like it. Yeah, they seem to like it, but I've gotten some great EVPs back from that. And, you know, that's one thing to, you know, investigate paranormally. It's another to go out and actually try to do something valuable spiritually with it, you know, rather than just try to catch evidence. I mean, I don't know. It's, you know, EVPs are almost too easy now. It's what you do with the what they're telling you that really makes the difference, I think.
I'm trying to go on the grounds of thinking that our voices have a lot more to do with gathering spirits on EVPs than using white noise.
You know, it's funny. I think that you're right in that, especially, you know, when you have gifted people that are basically, you know, they're very awake. And I'm not saying that, you know, that one person is better than another. I'm just saying that, you know, people who are developing that ability or have developed it seem to probably get better EVPs. I don't know what it is, but I've run into this repeatedly with people who are aware and awake, and you hand them a recorder and, you know, spirits crowd around them to talk, and then you take someone who's, you know, never done anything and hand them a recorder and, you know, they'll get one or two. And I just think there's something to that. You know, but you're saying mechanically the voice actually creates an opportunity for them to kind of like almost carry over and talk through our voice?
You're talking about channeling, right?
No, I'm talking about actual EVP. I mean, it's our voice energy. You're talking almost like a mechanical thing where our energy of our voice, they actually use that.
Well, I have known them to do that.
Do you think it's do you think that's the most of the time that's the case, or do you think it's
No, I just think that our tone of voice is what draws the spirits towards the recorders.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think that especially when you come in and you treat them like family and good friends, absolutely the emotion you show to spirits is I think paramount. Going in and being a bunch of cowboys and demanding them to perform, they get pretty ticked off, you know, if a group goes in and does stuff. And
you came on my show saying that you provoked one time.
Oh yeah, I got my butt kicked too. I mean, that dude was not happy. I mean, at all. And I had to man up and go apologize to him. And he was actually really a pretty nice guy. He just got tired of people coming into his space. And, you know, I had a long talk with him, and I've been back there several times and talked with him. And basically I got him to, you know, I let them know how to cross themselves over. He's still there. He's not leaving anytime soon from what I can tell, but he's a lot more accepting of what's going on. And I just said, why don't you just, you know, take off and go out and do something while everybody's wandering around, and then you can come back and enjoy it at night when nobody's around, and, you know, just go with that. And he seems to understand that, but there's a lot, you know, out here where we're at. I mean, this whole area is just so friggin' haunted. I mean, from the gold rush and everything, that the violence that went on. So, you know, we have no shortage of ghosts. But that guy, yeah, he was, I mean, when I got into it, I was provoking just to see what it was like, to do it. And I said one thing too many, and that guy's, I got the EVP, and I got the chills when I played it back, because this guy goes, "I'll find you." And that's when I knew, you know, I went too far with that. I better go man up and talk to him. So
well,
it was good to do.
Something did that to me up there at the Shanley, you know, and I think that they don't like provoking either, and I don't either. But what was happening was it was Christine, and you know Patty Pepin, right? That's on was on
I know
Christine's
Patty.
Show. Yeah, and it was us three there, and Patty was channeling. Well, when she was channeling, I could see the spirit of this young girl, and she was real cocky. And so I asked her, I said, well, how old were you when you died? And she said, wouldn't you like to know? I said, yeah, that's pretty much why I was asking. And Cindy and Sal looked with big old eyes like, oh, my God, Kathy's getting sassy.
Oh, my God. Did you ever find out?
No, she never told me.
Well, you know, it's funny with channeling. I actually tried channeling a long time ago, and I'll tell you what, it made me tired. Yeah, you come out of there, you're exhausted, and it feels like you've been through a workout, and you're colder than heck.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, have you ever done it, or?
Yeah, I have. Many times.
What happens when you do it? I mean, do you have a regular spirit that comes through, or?
It's like they push you to the side, and they can push you out of the whole way if you let them, but it's like me, I won't let them. So they push you to the side, and they just speak through you. But I don't allow that to happen to me very often. They got something to say. They say it to me, and I'll relay it. But that's all I'm telling them.
Do you ever hear them just outside of channeling? Do you ever hear them auditory, like just like hearing you and I talk?
Yes. Do others? I don't. I no, not as I know of. So I know that they're sending it to me through my mind. And it sounds like it's on the outside.
Yeah, that's, I've had that pretty much my whole life. Matter of fact, I've got like a couple that come here at night and hang out and sometimes talk at night, and I have to go out and tell them to shut the hell up. I got a couple of characters here who are, I call them frickin' frack because they're a couple of people here. They come out and talk around outside my house, and I finally go, shut up. Go away.
I remember when I was a kid, though, the voices would scare, well, not really scare me. It was just overpowering. What would happen was I'd go to bed, and that's when they decided they wanted to talk to me, and it was like all these voices would start out real low, and it was like many mighty much, you know, voices, and it would get louder and louder and louder, but it was like they were all starting to whisper all at one time, and you could tell there were female and males, but you could never understand what exactly they were saying because there was just too many talking at one time. So my grandmother finally told me, just tell them one at a time, Kathy, you're just one person, one at a time.
That's exactly what happens. We get so often, you know, it's just this constant. I never thought of that. You know what? That's actually a good idea. I'll tell them that. I'm going to tell them, hey, one guy.
Yeah, just one at a time, guys. But then in your mind, you've got to pick which one, you know, in your mind of who you're seeing, you'll say, okay, you first, you know, you first, and slow down because they will talk so fast that, you know, it's hard to understand them at times too because in their world, everything goes fast. I mean, you know, for 1 minute you can see a spirit from the corner of your eye or in front of you and the next second or millisecond, they're gone. So that's how fast it is in their world.
It's funny,
you've got to
tell
them to slow it down, huh?
The ones I've actually seen the last 2 years have been some really amazing stuff because of doing the cases and the work and to see them and to watch them run so quick.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen this year I had 4 apparitions I saw this year in the cases I've worked and in each case they were moving with excessive speed. I saw a woman run right by me in the town of Bodie. And we got an EVP. I yelled that I saw her, I saw something run by me. And I was pretty sure it was a woman. And when I played back the EVP, the voice said, look to the Citadel. And I looked to the left from where I was standing. I was taking pictures, and I took a shot just at that time. And to the left of my position where she had just run, you could look down and see a church down there. And so it was just, it was really, very strong evidence. But, in every case except one, they've been moving. And I saw a miner in May coming out of the, Yellow Jacket Mine over in Virginia City. And I looked and saw this man running, and all I saw was the legs. He didn't have enough energy to manifest the top.
Wow.
And he ran right around the building, and I'm sitting there going, what? And because he covered that distance at just record speed. And, I know what you're saying, though. It's like their time is just so sped up.
Yeah.
I think it's really hard for them to slow it down, but they can if they want to.
Oh, but have you ever gotten this? Okay, get this, John. All right, Tony, my husband, right, the one that passed away, he was just getting into believing into spirits about 2 years before this happened. And a friend of ours that's staying here with me now, we call him Fleet, that you know, like Fleetwood Mac and all that. We call him Fleet. But anyway, yeah. He had, there was this tree out in the front of his yard that the city for years just had a sidewalk going around it because supposedly there were Civil War people or men that were buried there from a
yeah.
church across that used to be a makeshift hospital. And what had happened was because the smallpox had broken out, they buried them where they died. And they didn't know if there was two or three of them that was buried there or one. So anyway, one night they had a commemoration, and the Sons of the Confederate, and they blessed and put a headstone right there next to the tree, next to the road. And my husband and I and Fleet were going out that night, and it was probably at dusk, and all of a sudden everything got really quiet. And I said, oh, my God. And Tony, he had to go back in and use the bathroom. But but anyway,
yeah.
Fleet, now, he didn't believe in spirits at all, and I believe that if you don't believe in them, you won't see them. And he didn't see this spirit the whole time. But everything got really quiet, and there's like four ways to Sunday for traffic to come in, and there wasn't a car or anything. And this was on a Friday night. And, oh, my gosh. So anyway, the church is really long with a long sidewalk, which takes about probably 10 minutes to walk across. And all of a sudden, I saw this real tall, lanky guy walking really long strides. And he was it looked to me like he was walking in slow motion, and he kept staring.
Yeah.
And me, I'm a sassy thing. I would usually say, hey, buddy, take a picture. It lasts longer. But no, something zipped my lip. I couldn't get it to come out. And I kept watching him. I said, Fleet, do you see him? And he said, no. I said, can you at least feel the quietness like a new fallen snow? Because this was like in October and it hadn't snowed yet. And
yeah.
It was wild. And all of a sudden, Tony come out and he says, what is that guy looking at? I said, do you see him? He said, yeah. And what he saw, I saw this guy that had this short brim Civil War looking hat with this dark kind of knee jacket and almost black, and he had black pants. Well, Tony saw him in this short brim dark hat, and he had a whole outfit with the knee coat on, all in a beige color. And Tony
yeah.
said, and I watched him the whole time, Tony did, and the guy looked at Tony and raised his arm and tipped his hat to him like, thank you, you know, for commemorating his grave, blessing it. And he didn't do that around me, so I guess it was just because Tony was a guy. But anyway, he went around. You okay?
No, I'm fine. I've still got that cough from that, you know, that bug I had. It takes a long time for it to go away.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah, I'm getting better. It's just something that happens at night. Sometimes I get it, you know, so I'll just take my cough medicine. I'll be fine.
Okay. But anyway, he went around these rows of bushes, which was a field just beyond. So I said, quick, get in the truck. So we got in the truck, and I hauled butt, and he was gone. Went in there, and I could feel it was a ghost. But what I wanted to ask you was, have you ever felt that quietness around you like you're in a bubble when you get ready to see a ghost?
Yeah. It's funny because in all the apparition work I've ever, you know, apparitions I've seen, and I've had more in the last year than I've ever had in my entire life, I can say that I've had pretty much all of them have been there, the quiet, you know, that quiet thing. Although the one that I think the most amazing one I ever had was in the room I'm in right now, about 17, 18 years ago. Actually, a little more than that, about 20 years ago. I woke up 3 in the morning, classic, you know, dead time sighting.
Right.
I woke up, and this was before I really was getting serious about anything. I just was you know, living my life and chasing women and doing what I did, you know. And I woke up at 3 in the morning, and I shot straight up, and I looked, and over in the southwest corner of the room, I had just put up a couple of paintings that had it was a male, a man and a woman dressed in Indian garb. You know, they were American Indians. And this woman in Western dress is standing there looking at that, and she turns and looks at me and smiles. And she just sat there and smiled at me for 15 full seconds. And I'm dead awake. I mean, I'm not asleep. I'm not dreaming. I'm pinching myself to, and she's just sitting there with this little smirk on her face, like, haha, wouldn't you like to know who I am? And then she just slowly faded away right in front of me, and it was just the most amazing sighting I've ever had to this day. And I've seen plenty of spirits, you know, since then. But she had a kind of a shawl on, Western type attire, and it turned out, we found out we have a woman buried on the north side of the property who we think is this woman. And we know when she's around because we get the cold sensation, you get the goose pimples, and you get this feeling of a friendly spirit is there. She's never again appeared since, but we've had just so many little personal things that sometimes you'll feel like you're being watched. My mother will be out in the garden because we're on a 7-acre ranch here, and we've got a 1-acre full garden that we eat out of that.
Nice.
And Mom will come in and talk to me and say, "Guess what? I had that feeling somebody was standing right next to me again, you know." And then we've got the two jokers that are also there, but they don't manifest like this woman does. Right after, matter of fact, the last time she was here was in October, right after I got done with that, the H1N1 bug hit me so hard. I had gone down to the studio to run systems checkouts. I was putting the mixer board up and just checking things out. And I hadn't been down there for a long time because I just was too sick. And I got down there and fired up the computer, and my whole left side went a goose pimple cold, and I felt her there. And it was that welcome back. She knows we talk about her, and the studio's not 300 feet from where we think she's buried. And but it's always that quiet like you talk about. I agree. I mean, it's just that it's almost like it announces itself with this absence, if you will.
It does.
Anything
you don't
else.
Hear animals or anything.
Yeah, it's just it's something all to itself. Even the ones you see out of the corner of your eye, you get a little. It's the furthest thing from your mind when you have one of these. You know what I mean?
Mhm.
Yeah, when you see a spirit, it's just not. You're not even comprehending that you're going to see it. My mother, we've got shadow people that come into the house all the time, and I've got strong rules about that. And I'm constantly shooing them out, going, "Get out of here!"
That's
my mother.
I've never seen a shadow person.
They're real common out here. If you ever get out west, I'll tell you what, we'll have you stay here, and you'll get your chance. Trust me.
Cool.
We've got them here because of my dad's condition with the stroke and stuff, and that's when they really started showing up. And we think it's a lot of family members, and they're really funny. They do stuff. My uncle Mike, who died in 2003 from mesothelioma, he likes to play tricks and blow on your back and wake you up, and then you'd spin around and you swear you see this guy smiling at you, and then he's gone. He's a real smart ass. I mean, he thinks that's funny, but I don't know. What ones do you see?
I get to ride in your fancy car, too?
You can ride in my Mustang. As a matter of fact, that's the second request I've had. I've got Spencer Hughes, who's on my team. He came to me all going, "John, I know," and he's this big-timer Fox radio announcer, and he's going, "John, I know this is a real big thing with you, but would you let me drive your car? I've always wanted to drive a Mustang," and I'm looking at him and going, "Spencer, yes, that's not a problem. Let's just find this straight away and let you open it up," And he's like, "Oh, my God." So I'm going to let him do that here real soon. But, yes, you can even drive my car if you want. Yes.
Oh, you're good, John. You have gotten more out of me tonight than I believe anybody has in a while.
Well, you're talking about the spirits. Are there ones that routinely appear around you, or do you have relationships with some of them?
Relationships?
Beyond the angels?
In what sort of way?
I'm not talking, boyfriend, girlfriend or anything, but
I'm just
talking about, and it's like I've got a spirit over in the Shingle Springs Cemetery who I went over to yesterday and did some EVP work with, and William Palmer, famous rancher, and he's a real talker, and I like this guy because he's just always nice. And I researched his life and found out he was a pretty decent guy. And he always talks on EVP when I go there. When we had Karen up, he said, "Pleased to meet you," to Karen when I introduced her. Very nice gentleman, but we have a friendship. So that's what I mean by relationship.
Yeah, we had, when we first moved into this house about 5 years ago, we had one called Henry. And though he didn't live here, he told me he used to work on this house right regular back at the turn of the century. And he just loved it so much he never wanted to leave it. I said, "Well, were you married?" He said, "Yeah, but he didn't like to stay at home. This was his home." So I think Tony helped him move on. He used to mess with our radio all the time. And now I have one. I think she's been here since we, moved here too, but she just didn't show herself until after Henry left. And her name is Beth, and she's a sassy one. She can be something. She likes to hang around here lately for some reason, and she's kind of getting on my nerves.
Did they do anything to physically to make their presence known? Do they pull any doors open or knock or walk or?
She likes to get into my dining room and kitchen and just tap on the table in there and make it rather loud sometime, or go into the hallway. I have a foyer that she likes to go into and beat on the wall so she has a ball. She likes men.
You... Oh, she likes men, huh?
Oh, she loves men. She loves Nick.
She loves Nick? Oh, Nick comes over?
No, Nick lives in Canada. She loves Nick, though. When I get on the phone, I can feel her right up there next to my ear. So, yeah, she loves Nick.
Sometimes I wonder if they travel. I got to ask that of some of them. I know there are spirits that can get around and go pretty much anywhere they want, and then there's the ones that just seem to be bound to a spot, and either through emotion or whatever. You wonder why she just doesn't go see him.
I wouldn't be surprised. I need to ask him, has he seen a dark-haired, young, probably, I think she's about 17, I think she always wanted to be married is what she tells me, and she just loves men and never had that chance to fall in love, so I think this is her chance, she thinks, and I'm not willing to be that chance for her, so I keep on telling her to leave me alone,
Huh.
She won't move on. I've tried to get her to move on. She won't move on. So, I just
Does
deal
she
with
know
her.
She's...
I said, "There's your space. Here's my space. Let's just stay over there, and I'll stay over here."
I know the feeling. I had this one spirit that would walk with me on our path. I mean, I have a little studio that's separated from the main ranch house by about 400 feet. And a little single-room studio, and there's not much in it, but, it's my little place to flop, and I'm the domestic engineer on the ranch, so, I do what I do. But at night when I come home from work, I'll go park up at the main parking area, and then I come around the backside and go to my place. And, in the fall, it's getting darker earlier, and you go walking back there, and it's a little spooky unless you have a flashlight. I would walk back there, and I kind of knew the trail, so I could walk back there in pitch dark and know where I was at, and you follow the concrete. There was one night it started happening. I started having this spirit following me, and it was a male, and I knew it was a man, and I think it was one of the two, Frick or Frack, but they thought it was real funny to mess with me, and they still do. They think it's great, but... But this guy, he was like walking right next to me. I could feel him looking at me. And I finally stopped because I was hearing, like motion on my right, like clothing, moving. And, it wasn't me. And you just have that feeling, And I finally turned around and, just told the guy, "Look, I know you're there. But just 20 feet, dude, 20 feet. Go right 20 friggin' feet." And so I said, "I can take you to be in there, but just don't friggin' walk next to me." So I started walking, and 20 feet off, I hear motion on the right. and it was like, they're actually pretty compliant when you ask them things. I mean, but God, getting in your space like that, and sometimes I think it's kind of rude.
Yeah, it is. But she's sassy, though. But Nick, he channels. So he channels an angel named Raziel. And for some reason, that angel just loves it when I call, because he says that Raziel calls me the sassy Kathy. So
I've heard him talking, Nick, and he has got the most pleasant voice when he's doing that.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, you know, but he's labeled you sassy, huh?
He's labeled me sassy, yeah. And I said, well, that's cool. I like that.
That's good, yeah. That's a good thing.
He said, if I ever need anybody to fight next to me, Raziel said, you'd be the one to put right there. I said, yeah, I'd do it. I'd do it in a heartbeat, yep. But,
going back briefly, just one area, the Shanley. How did you come to do work at the Shanley? I mean, considering you live in North Carolina.
Well, I live in Virginia, near the
or
North.
Or I mean, Virginia.
Well, Christine, she lived in Texas at the time, and Patty, she lived in Maine, and we were invited to go down to the Waverly, and I said, "Oh hell no!" Excuse my language, but I said, "No, I'm not going there. I can't deal with that many spirits." And I just got a bad feeling about going there. So then we were invited to come up to the Shanley. So that's how we went to the Shanley.
Hmm. And what was your impressions of the Shanley?
Oh, I love it. The spirits there are just, they're amazing. One of them did not want me to sleep in the gentleman's quarters, and I'm sassy. So I said, well, I'm sleeping there. So I went in there, and before I did, Sal's wife, Cindy, said, pulled Sal to the side and said, Sal, one of the spirits do not want Kathy sleeping in the gentleman's quarters. Women don't sleep in there. And he says, oh, Kathy can handle it. So when I went in there, Cindy's daughter said, Kathy, you sure you want to sleep in here by yourself? I said, and I had jet lag. I said, I don't care. I am not going anywhere. If they don't like it, then tough. And all of a sudden, I got this male voice in my ear saying, well, all right. And I said, okie dokie. I'm staying for the rest of the duration. And
well, it sounds like you made a friend. Was he pretty friendly to you? You know,
yeah,
trip?
After that, kept on pinching my boob and everything else.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, a fresh goat.
Alan Cindy will tell you.
Well, he doesn't think he's getting anywhere. I mean, he doesn't even have a friggin' body, for God's sakes.
He had something more there.
What'd you do? Did you say, hey, big boy, leave me alone or what, you know?
I said, that's as far as you go, Buster.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, my God.
I had a blast up there.
What other things happened?
Well, that major hall, you know, room was used to be a bar, and you can hear spirits in there, you know, sounds like they're partying, what I understand. I haven't heard it yet, but I want to hear that one day. So just different things happen. You have to go there and see yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to go there. I mean, I'll definitely let you know when we when I fly out there. I mean, definitely be nice to have you there with, and have you on the team to do the investigation. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, I loved it. Patty, she did table tipping there, and boy, that table just went all kinds of crazy. I took a bunch of pictures of that with it moving in different ways. And I even have a picture of that Civil War guy in a tombstone, because my grandmother used to tell me years ago, if there's ever an unmarked grave, take a picture of it, and the spirit will show itself. Have you ever heard
that? Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I've never heard that.
Yeah. Yep. And got a picture of that one on the tombstone. I was looking everywhere else but the tombstone, but there it was in the tombstone.
It's funny because a lot of you'll hear people say, "Oh, you know, who are fairly big names in this business," and you'll say, "Well, do you hunt in graveyards?" And oh no, you know that and. There's no.
Oh,
there's
I love graveyards.
And I got my best stuff at graveyards. I mean, I get some awesome EVPs and run into spirits in graveyards. I mean, you know, it's not like they hang out there all the time. It's just that when you go there, they show up, you know?
Yeah.
And you get some wild stuff. I mean, but I've never heard that, you know. I wonder why they would do that. Is it just because they want to tell you who they are?
Yeah, I think so. I think they want to be recognized and be blessed and everything else. And, you know, a lot of these graves have been worn over the years with weather and all. So, yeah, I think they want to be re-recognized.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, we have a lot of the pioneer cemeteries here, and there's actually two fairly distinct ones that are over at this place I keep talking about, the Shingle Springs Graveyard. And it's actually built on an old Indian burial ground, so there's a lot more than just you know, pioneer spirits there. There's actual, you know, many, probably hundreds, if not 1,000 years worth of burials there. But I did ask yesterday on EVP if these people wanted to say their names, and I actually got some. So, you know, but I'll remember to take a camera now that I hear this little trick. So I'll try that.
Yeah, you just ask them, though, because I always did. I always say, I'm going to take a picture now. Is it okay? And afterwards, whether they say it's okay or not, I say thank you, and that's it. But I do that with recording, too. So.
Yeah, we got one at the Pioneer Cemetery over by Marshall Gold Discovery Park 1 year ago tomorrow. And it was my friend Michelle Cook. She's in our group, and she said she had taken a picture of a little boy's spirit at the top of this hill in the cemetery that we were at. And we were talking about it, and I had my recorder running, and the little boy made an appearance on our EVP, and it was he had a southern voice, and he said, we were talking about where he was buried, and he said, "Mama got me that little stone over there by the tree." You know, and it was so clear, and we were the only people there. I'll tell you what, I'll bring that on that next show,
cool.
Play that for you. That one is just outstanding, you know, but you get them too. I mean, you do a lot of EVP work yourself then.
I take more pictures than EVPs, but yeah, Christine and I and Vicky did the communication bridge the other night. I really enjoyed that.
What's that?
Excuse me.
Yeah. What's a communication bridge?
Excuse me. I had to cough. But anyway, yeah, I'm still trying to get over this mess too. But it's where we all get into a conference room and we record for our loved ones. And we all ask target questions and record from our telephones.
Oh, I've heard of this. It's okay. So you're
something we've been doing for 3 years in CJ's EVP forum.
You know, I've seen that out there, but I didn't realize what it was. I mean, I saw references to it. I'm going, what the heck is that?
And
so,
if I'd had your number, I would have called you and told you come and join us.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll Skype in. I've got Skype, and I can come on in, and I'll definitely give you my number, and. I'll try it once. I'll be fine.
Well, I mean, I can make it a three-way, you know, call you and then call the conference, and then that way, you know, you ain't got to worry about Skype, and you'll probably get a clearer, you know.
Well, actually, I have a, believe it or not, I've got a desktop, Belkin desktop dedicated Skype phone, and this thing is absolutely reliable. I mean, it's a wonderful phone. And it's just like a regular telephone. It just happens to be... You know, and I buy the Skype. I'm not doing a commercial for Skype here, but it's like an $80 phone I picked up off Amazon, and I love this phone. So I'll just give you the number to call, and you won't know that I'm on a Skype phone at all. It's just sounds just like the regular phone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but
I'll put that picture
so,
of the tombstone in the if it'll fit in there. Let's see, maybe it'll carry him to it. I don't know. But that's the tombstone with the Civil War guy on it. It's just his face, and he's kind of turned to the side. But and I'll also put up where I drew what I saw. So, yeah.
So how does it work? When you do these sessions, are you doing visualization, or are you doing EVP, or is it a little bit of everything?
I do visualization, but we all just try to do target questions. You know, we we did it the other night just to wish our families that had passed on a Merry Christmas.
Well, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a dedicated
I'm still waiting to see the
them.
Results because Christine didn't have it set up quite good enough to replay it because usually they replay it and we hear it and we tell them, yeah, we heard that. But we did hear some voices while we were doing it, but it didn't sound like our family, but that's fine. A lot of times when you're looking for somebody to talk to, you know, as far as in the spirit world, sometimes they just don't have anything to say.
Yeah, well, they could be partying too. Who knows, you know? I mean,
that's
it's Christmas
true.
Time over there too.
Eggnog galore.
Funny, we have an old tradition where we set a plate out for our relatives who have passed on for Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's dinners. We'll always set a plate for them and invite them in. And I haven't EBP'd any of that ever before, but, you know, you can kind of tell they're around. And I'm
yeah.
sure they appreciate the gesture. You know, you always tip the chair forward. So no one will sit in it, and it's a position of honor for those who've gone on. And
oh,
I'm not
I've
sure
never heard
where
that before.
Yeah, it's actually an old tradition, and in a lot of different countries around the world have variations on the theme. The Hawaiian people are big on it, and you know, Scottish do this. And it's just something that you know, we've done off and on over the years, and I kind of got back into it. And we did it the other night, you know, even though we only had the three of us, we had a little place set aside, and we were all laughing and hooting it up, and, you know, we know that Mike and company showed up, so I'm sure they enjoy the fact we do that, and, you know.
So you're Scottish and what?
Portuguese. You know, it's,
nice.
Actually, it's the Portuguese is not so much Portuguese as it is Viking, because...
Oh, nice.
There were these 6 foot tall, red haired and blonde Vikings that landed in the Azores and never left. And so my family name on the, from there is Brazil. And when they came over here, John Brazil actually changed his name to John Brazil Almada because he had another brother named John Almada. And or John Brazil, and they were getting their communications all messed up. They were farming out and doing cattle ranching out in Napa, so they changed the name when they got over here. So that's how that worked out. So that's how the name came about. But yeah, but definitely mostly Celtic. So it's not surprising we have that little extra something, you know.
Well, I'm Celtic too, but I'm Irish, and my family was Eyre, E-I-R-E, but from the Druids, but.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to be in relationship when they came over here to being pegged as a Druid, they changed their name, just the I to a U, so now it's U or E-U-R-E. So, yeah, that's where that came from. But, yeah, so I'm Irish or Druid and Celtic and Indian, Cherokee, and a little bit of German, so I'm a Sooner.
you're right.
Here to there.
Well, let's see, the Scottish side, we had McGregor, and I am a direct descendant of one Rob Roy McGregor. So,
wow.
Yep, definitely got that traced back, and so we've got that, and then there's McHenry's McGregor, and then another, there's some English in there, and we had a Baker clan. But it was funny, my mother had an old story. She was talking about some of this when she first realized she had abilities. She used to have flying dreams. And, you know, she talked to her mother, who, you know, my grandmother Bessie was, you know, amazing woman, but she was afraid of the ability and she was afraid of her own. She was the one member of the family who was just dead set against this stuff. And my mother told her about how she had flown to the family home in Kansas. We had they had come from Kansas, and they had gotten tired of all the tornadoes. The houses kept getting knocked down by tornadoes. So they decided they'd had enough of that. That's why they came to California. But they ended up, my mother described the old homestead in Kansas perfectly, down to the tiles that were in the kitchen, which were very unique. And my grandmother forbade her ever again to deal with any of that and didn't want to talk about any of the magical abilities of the family at all. Just independently, the girls all worked it out for themselves, you know, and it was pretty much encouraged from there on. But, definitely there's something with the Celtic people. I don't understand why so many of us have that extra something, you know, the red-haired, you know. Maybe it's the red hair does it, the Carrot Top. I don't know, but...
Are you Carrot Top?
I was, I was actually jet black hair, but I was born redheaded and my hair turned black.
Cool.
My eyes were blue
when they turned green.
Yeah, it was just like, I decided it was just going to change on me, and then, but now there's a little more snow on the roof than when I first started with it, so... I'm thinking about getting some
nothing
of that
wrong
dye,
with
you know.
On the roof. There's nothing.
Yeah,
wrong with
it's still. Yeah, you know, I got to get it cut. I always hate it when it gets too long, you know, and you start looking kind of like an old '60s refugee. But I'm gonna definitely get it. Yeah, when I work around military people, so they start looking at you funny, you know. So you gotta have a kind of a shortcut. So.
Well, I've got some English in me too, because my great 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 granddad was a Harrington, and. He was the one that invented the flushable toilet for Queen Elizabeth I.
What?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Isn't that cool? Isn't that something to be pegged with? Yeah, his first name was John.
Oh, man. No wonder. That his name was John?
His name was John.
That's where that came from?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to look this up. For Queen Elizabeth, huh?
John Harrington. Okay. H-A-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N. Yes.
John Harrington. Okay. Well, I'm going to look that up. I'm going to look that up and talk with you on the next show. Hey,
okay.
You know what? You know, I don't know where the time went, but we've had a heck of a good fun time here on this show.
I had a great time. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah, I mean, it's just nice to know more about you. I mean, your background and where you came from and all that. We'll definitely talk some more about that on Wednesday. But, yeah, I mean, you're a hoot.
Yeah, I'm a hoot.
You're a hoot.
I'm a hoot. You're a hoot.
Well, let's see. When's your next communication bridge that you're going to do?
I have no idea. I think Christine said that she wanted to do it for New Year's, so... Yeah, just give me your number later on, and I'll be glad to call you and let you know when it's up and about, out and about.
Out and about, okay. Well, okay, we'll do that, and let's see. I'll definitely be in touch before then. We'll go ahead and start winding it down then. Let's see, we're at 9:27. Let me pull the atomic clock out here. It always sounds weird, like the clock's going to go nuclear on me. 9:27 and 30 seconds. Okay, so we're coming up towards the end of it. Anything that you're doing in the next, you know, any events for you coming up or anything real quick before, or do you have a website?
No, I don't, but I do have a radio show, but it's okay, already up there. But anyway, I'm having Lizzie Starr on to do 2010 predictions this Tuesday, and I'm having you this Wednesday at 8 o'clock. And Nick is there every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I do about 22 to 24 shows a month.
Oh, my God. You're good.
Thank you.
Dang. Well, I'll definitely tune in Tuesday. I'm actually off. The plant's shut down. So, yeah, I'll definitely tune in Tuesday. What time is that Tuesday show?
5 o'clock my time, Eastern Standard Time.
5 o'clock, so 8 o'clock our time. Okay. Well, I'll be there.
No. That's Eastern Standard Time. It would be, let's see, 5:43, about 2 o'clock your time.
Oh, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, we'll do that, and we're starting to lose the audience out there, we've got Elmer and Reno Girl are left, and we had everybody else probably took off. But we will be back Thursday ourselves to do the top 10 EVPs of 2009. If you've got any, Kathy, definitely send some on over here, and we'll pop a few of yours on our show. And and have everybody call in and have ourselves a New Year's toast. So with that, we're going to go ahead and start winding down. Again, look for us on Thursday. We won't have a Friday show. At 8 o'clock, Thursday, December 31st, and we'll be toasting the new year. And we want to thank you, Kathy, for being on with us. We love you dearly, you know that.
Oh, I love you too, John.
Okay. Well, with that said,
we?
I'm going to play. Oh, go ahead.
Who's we?
Well, me. I mean, there's two of us in here, you know.
You said we love you dearly. I was like, okay, who's we?
Okay. Well, with that said, we do love you, so no matter how many of us there are. But 20 seconds remaining, and so I love you, and we'll talk with you Wednesday. And this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio signing off. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
For you, Kathy.
Okay.
They call me Cuban Pete. I'm the king of the rumba beat. When I play the maracas, I go chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom.
Oh, yes,
yes,
favorite.
Sir, I'm Cuban Pete.
I like Rick.
I'm the crack of my native street. When I start to dance, everything goes chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom. The senoritas they sing and they swing with their ombrero. It's very nice. So full of spice. And when the dancing they bring a happy ring that had a kettle, singing a song all the day long. So if you like the beat, take a lesson from Cuban Pete, and that gets you to chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom.
So you.
He's a really modest guy, although he's the hottest guy in Havana, in Havana.
Si, senorita, I know. But you would like a cheeky boom chick. It's very nice. So full of spice.
Oh, I'll place my hand on your hip, and if you will just give me your hand,
can I call me
then we shall try. Just you and I.
This is your number.
If you like the beat, take a little human beat. And I'll teach you to chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom.
Okay. I just couldn't resist
you
doing that for
you. You call me anytime, okay? You call me anytime.
I will do that, and thanks for
and
being on with us.
I do need your number. I do need your number.
Oh, but we're on the streaming, and so I'll give you the. I'll just mail that to you.
Okay.
But yeah, we're still on the stream here, so the archive people are listening to us. You do know that.
Oh, okay. Well, bye.
Okay, I'll see you later. But boom, boom, chicky boom. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.